Welcome to Drunk Bible Study. This show's mission is to read every single word of the greatest story ever told. A warning to our listeners, the hosts of this show are sinners, but they're doing their best. There will be drinking and there may be some swears. They did say they'd try to keep it clean, but I wouldn't put my money on it.
I'm Emily, and this is Drunk Bible Study, where my good friends Dedeker and Jace teach me, a born and raised atheist, all about the Bible. I'm here in my new apartment for the very first time doing some Drunk Bible Study, and that's really cool. That's very fun.
Wow. Oh,
what a christening. What a christening.
Indeed. Yes. And I want to continue on with my story of this church that I live like basically right next to.
Right.
It's close enough.
With the two Marys.
Yes. With mm-hmm. I think we established that it's like a Mary and an Elizabeth, because it's called
Most likely.
Elizabeth Church.
Okay. It'd be weird if it was two Marys outside of St. Elizabeth Church or Mary and some other rando.
That would be weird. Yes. I need to post the picture that I took. And I was telling Jason Dedeker earlier, it's kind of like a drive-by picture taking situation, because there were a bunch of people like praying near it, and I didn't want to like look like I was taking a picture of them, and so I ended up just kind of running by and like quickly snapping a picture
of
Mary.
Send it to us.
Oh sure,
you were like the Mary paparazzi.
Yes, I was.
The picture I'm imagining is just all motion blur. It's just a big swung your camera by, and it's just super blurry.
Yeah, here, let me put it in our chat, and then, yeah, maybe we can post it at some point as well.
Yeah, put it in the Discord.
Yes, because it's not that blurry, thankfully. I did manage to, like, stop momentarily. But there's a bunch of, like, roses near it, too. I think that people were putting roses in near her because it was close to Easter. So, there you go.
Okay.
Is that Mary?
Yeah, low, how a rose like a Mary. Air blooming.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The rose is Mary.
The rose is Mary. Oh, okay. Yeah, the rose is Mary.
Or maybe it's Jesus.
Oh, isn't it Jesus?
I'm actually unclear on that.
She's stepping on a snake.
Whoa, cool. I didn't even notice that. No.
Yeah, if you zoom in on our little footies.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's probably the devil. It's probably meant to be a representation of the devil. You know, the serpent that tempted Eve.
Exactly.
Yeah, apparently if you look up Mary stepping on a snake, this is like a common image that comes up, actually.
I didn't know that.
I think it's meant to be like a counterpoint to Eve, right? That Eve was a chump and became best friends with the snake, but then Mary is stepping on snakes with her bare feet.
Yes.
Right. In Soviet Russia, snake stomps on you.
Exactly.
Not in this case.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Did
you get a picture of the other Mary/Elizabeth?
No, not yet. I'll do it soon. But there were more people for some reason around that other Mary, the Mary 2, the Return of Mary, which was strange. Maybe that's just where they were kind of configured at that particular moment in time. But I will say, I get to hear these lovely church bells every day.
Oh, that's nice.
Are they every hour or just at certain times?
I think it's just at certain times. I heard it at 7, and now it's 8 o'clock, but I didn't hear it at 8. So it happened at 7, and then, I don't know, maybe it happened at noon. I don't know why it happens at those times, but it happened at 7 and noon. I know that for sure.
Hmm.
And they're lovely, you know, at First Noel. And then what was the other one that I said that you all knew?
All Creatures of Our God and King.
That's the one.
I think was the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah.
I was just looking up this Mary stepping on the snake thing, and apparently it's a reference to part of Genesis, where when God is like punishing everyone for this and makes it so the snake has to slither on the ground. Remember that? Where we thought maybe snakes were actually dragons before God took away their legs and made them slither on their bellies.
Yes.
But then also there's this verse, Genesis 3:15, that says, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel."
Whoa.
So this is the crushing the snake, apparently, is a reference to that.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
I do love, okay, I saw that you did just post that Mary picture in the Drunk Bible Study Fans and Fellowship Facebook group without any context, just calling it drive, just saying drive by Mary. People are just going to have to wonder.
Sorry, that's everyone.
Good, yeah. Good, like indie sort of punk band name, Drive by
Mary. Drive by Mary.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Mean a lot of different things. But yeah, in this context, I was running by and like taking a fairly good picture, surprisingly. Nice. So there it is. All righty. Well, what are we doing today? We did John 3:16 last time.
We did, yes. And then last time...
And also
time,
4.
Yes.
Last time was the weird... People were trying to stir up stuff between John the Baptist and Jesus by being like,
yeah.
Hey, Jesus is maybe baptizing more people than you. And John's like,
and
no,
he's like,
cool.
Cool.
And then we got a weird caveat that actually Jesus isn't baptizing. He's outsourcing it to his disciples.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was surprising.
And
I had never heard that one before.
I kept wondering again, why are people baptizing people at this hour, at this time period?
Yeah, so you went down that rabbit hole as well.
Yeah,
about
what's going on here?
About mikvahs and ritual bathing and all those good things.
Indeed. Yeah. So it was a good time. Fun time. And then,
yes.
What are we reading today?
Well, before we talk about that, we should talk about what we're drinking.
All right. What are you two drinking?
So I'm having a stout from Fremont Brewing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it's quite nice. It has this, I don't know. I honestly don't drink stouts very often. I usually do IPAs of various sorts or sometimes non-I pale ales. But
just normal pale ales. Yes.
But kind of on a whim, decided to get this. And it's been quite nice when I want to change. I would say in my fridge is more IPA-based flavors than stout-based flavors. But it is kind of nice when I want to change here.
Beautiful. How about you, Dedeker?
Yeah, I'm just having a Guinness, you know, the old workhorse of beers.
I had a Guinness yesterday. So there you go.
Nice.
I want to tell the two of you, in New York City, you can't buy liquor in a grocery store. You have to go to a liquor store.
States. Yeah.
And we've left when California.
Yes, I have. And when I told my mother this, she was like, wait a minute, that just sounds very antiquated and kind of religious maybe. You know, like yeah. There's some religious practice that is making this happen. I figured that would be happening maybe in Utah, but not in New York City. And yet, here we are.
It is surprising that it's held out that long in Utah City. It must be a good liquor store
lobby. In Utah City?
I mean, New York City.
In Utah City as well.
Non-alcoholic Guinness is already getting to me.
Right?
It's funny growing up here in Washington that we always had that same thing. There was a liquor store that was separate from the grocery store. You could get beer and wine, but nothing else besides that at the grocery store.
You can't even get wine here.
That's even
just
more extreme.
Beer. Yeah. So it must be above 10%. You can't sell anything above 10.
Yeah, you could get beer and wine, but nothing above that. And then when I moved to California in 2009, it was
free-for-all.
This, oh my gosh, I can just get this in the grocery store. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And then while I was gone, Washington finally got its act together and was like, hey, why don't we just put this in the grocery store? This is stupid to have a separate store.
Yeah, the East needs to do that as well. Although there are so many little liquor stores on like every block that I think maybe they're the ones that are lobbying to keep that a reality.
Yeah,
that
liquor
makes store
sense,
lobby.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
In Utah City. Exactly.
Yep. There you go. In New Utah City. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But because of that, because I'm moving, I don't even have a bar set yet. I don't have a shaker. Oh, I don't have anything.
Emily.
So I know.
Goodness.
I need to get one. I really need to get one. Because
I feel like we need to buy one for you because you bought one for our house.
I would not object if you wanted to do that. Just maybe do gold and black because that's my aesthetic that's happening here.
Okay.
Black and with gold accents. But because of that, yeah, I had to go to the liquor store and buy some wine. So I bought this Malbec and it's lovely.
Great.
Because I don't have anything else here. Yes.
But you were able to buy it. You got it.
You did successfully.
Thank goodness. They did not throw me out and say, you're from California, get out of here. So.
Goodness.
All right, now, what are we reading today?
All right, today we are continuing on with the most famous gospel of all, the Gospel of John, chapters 5 and 6 today. I have no idea what to expect because the pacing of this book has been so different from the others, so we really have no idea.
Yeah.
But we're reading 2 chapters and we are excited to get into it here. As we get started, we want to remind everyone to read responsibly and drink responsibly.
You can drink along with us, or you can listen to us while you're in the car.
But please do not do both at the same time.
And with that, it is John chapter 5.
Yeah.
After these things, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches.
Oh.
Oh, porches, yes.
Yes.
The porches are back. Uh-huh.
Wait, I didn't realize that the video game company Bethesda was from the Bible.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
guess I should have.
Or at least from a Hebrew name of a place.
Right.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
In these lay a great multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, or paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain times into the pool and stirred up the water.
What?
Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made whole of whatever disease he had.
This is like the most amazing whirlpool situation ever.
Don't you not remember this story?
I do not remember this at all. This is amazing.
Was this in previous Gospels?
No.
Okay, good. Because I was like, no, I do not.
Now, I don't remember the competitive aspect of it, that you had to be the first one in.
That's why you got to hang out to watch to see when the angel does.
I don't remember that part. I just thought it was. I remember that. Yes, occasionally the water's going to get stirred up, and that just if you got in, then you'd be healed.
Okay.
I didn't realize it was last one's in's a rotten egg.
Wow.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. This is what I'm talking about though, where John just like it's a whole different book.
It is.
Has almost nothing to do with the other books we've read.
Which is great, though, because, we've read this thing 3 times.
That's
and
fair.
We need a little bit of fun or something.
It also puts things in perspective where, Jesus is going around healing people left and right. But it's like, you could also just hang out by this pool.
Yeah, he just wants to get in a whirlpool.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all that matters.
A certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years.
What?
When Jesus... 38 years.
Good Lord.
Yes. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been sick for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Mm. Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your mat and walk." Immediately, the man was made well and took up his mat and walked.
He didn't even need to get in the pool.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, what's weird to me, what I think could be awkward is they're saying that there's a lot of sick people around this pool and Jesus just heals the one guy. That's a little weird.
Well, that guy was 38 years sick.
Sure.
Can you imagine having the flu for 38 years?
No, I can't.
Mm, yeah, we don't know what kind of sick we're talking about, right?
That's true.
He could have been sick. He could have been paralyzed. He could have been blind. He could have been anything that's inhibiting his ability to get into the hot tub.
Yeah.
At the right time.
Right. Any kind of chronic condition that he would have had for his whole life. Yes. So I don't think that's out of the question. But it is
I suppose you're right. Yes.
We talked before about if Jesus were a character in, Dungeons and Dragons or something who has a certain number of spell slots that he can use per day.
Yeah.
That maybe he's like, "Ooh, I just have one left. I'm going to pick the guy that's been sick the longest. And that's the one that I'll do."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Now, it was the Sabbath on that day. So the Jews said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry the mat."
What? They can't even carry a mat?
I guess not. No picking up sticks, no carrying mats.
What if they want to sit down?
You got to sit where a mat already is.
Mm. Okay.
Or sit without no mat. He answered them, "He who made me well, the same said to me, take up your mat and walk."
It's true.
Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your mat and walk? But he who was healed didn't know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a crowd being in the place. The one time that Jesus actually had some smarts and was like, I'm not going to tell you who I am and then immediately tell you to not tell anybody. I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
I'm imagining him like Assassin's Creed style, just sort of like touching everyone on the shoulder and disappearing into the crowd, you know?
Love that.
Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you are made well. Sin no more so that nothing worse happens to you.
Whoa.
Was that how it goes, huh?
Got it. Okay, that's what we're talking about here.
The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Oh, he did find out in the end.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, now he's going to tell him. It's funny because I think normally the way that we would read this is Jesus is saying to him, like, don't sin anymore or you might get sick as some kind of punishment for your sin. But in this context of this guy just being confronted for carrying his mat, that it's maybe a little more of a like, hey, don't, like, I know I had you pick up your mat because you were well, but like, careful around these guys. Don't sin. Yeah. Sin in quotes, right? Like,
interesting.
Do the stuff that they say is bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else would interpret it that way or if there's any backing for this, but I kind of like that idea that Jesus is like, hey, man, just stay out of trouble. Like, these guys are looking for something to get you for.
Sure.
For this cause, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he did these things on the Sabbath.
What?
Yeah.
But Jesus answered them, my Father's still working, so I'm working too.
Oh,
well, that's a good one.
That's a good one, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
For this cause, therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making himself equal with God.
Mm. Is that how fatherdom works?
Can we...
Anytime I identify my father as my father, I'm saying I'm equal to him?
You're exactly the same as him, yes. Huh.
I also don't recall any of the other Gospels talking about the Jews wanting to kill Jesus so vehemently.
Yeah, they didn't usually start with killing, but that they wanted to catch him.
To catch him somehow, get him in trouble somehow.
Yeah. And the other books, this is interesting actually, because the other books would pretty much always say the Pharisees or the Sadducees were the ones trying to do this.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Yeah, this is just the Jews.
Yeah. But remember, if this book is being written longer after the fact, now there's more of a sense of we're Christians and therefore different from Jews. Whereas the ones written sooner are like, no, we're all Jews. We just believe that Jesus is the savior that was prophesied for the Jews by Jews.
Interesting.
And so I wonder if it's indicating there's like been more of a separation by this point.
Sure. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus therefore answered them, most assuredly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing. For whatever things he does, these the Son also does likewise. For the Father has affection for the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. He will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he desires. For the Father judges no one, but he has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who doesn't honor the Son doesn't honor the Father who sent him.
Okay.
Most assuredly, I tell you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and doesn't come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Most assuredly, I tell you, the hour comes and now is when the dead will hear the Son of God's voice and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. Oh, he keeps going. He also gave him authority to execute judgment because he is a son of man. Don't marvel at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out.
What?
Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. Because I don't seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me.
Is this Jesus talking?
He's still going. He is still monologuing. Okay, still
Jesus is just monologuing about himself and his dad. He's like, Daddy loves me and gave me all these powers. Let's talk about it.
If I testify about myself, my witness is not valid. It is another who testifies about me. I know that the testimony which he testifies about me is true. you have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. But the testimony which I receive is not from man. However, I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony which I have is greater than that of John.
You're talking about works, Baptist?
Yes.
Yes.
Got it.
For the works which the Father gave me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me that the Father has sent me. The Father himself, who sent me, has testified about me.
You, a lot of testifying here.
This okay. is, it's been a long time since he's said this much all at once.
Yes.
I think this is going to happen a lot more in John.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Got a lot to say.
Little Ness has a much bigger part than the other Jesuses have.
Yeah, that's true.
True, yeah.
That's true. Yeah. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You don't have his word living in you because you don't believe him whom he sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are they which testify about me. Yet you will not come to me that you may have life. I don't receive glory from men, but I know, sorry. People listening, yes. What are they doing? I did not expect him to just go on such a long trot.
That's a here. Really interesting point that all the people who are listening to him, they're like, dude, sorry.
Yeah, well, okay.
We yeah. didn't mean for you to go to be like this. My goodness.
Okay. But I know you, that you don't have God's love in yourselves.
Oh.
I have come in my Father's name and you don't receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe who receive glory from one another and you don't seek the glory that comes from the only God? Don't think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, even Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you don't believe his writings, how will you believe my words?
He's very judgmental.
That's the end of the chapter.
Very judgmental.
Yeah. Okay. I just had an idea for when we do our, you know, filmed version of this for DBS Plus, starring Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
Is that I think this might be a musical.
You think he's breaking out into song right now?
Yes. Right. He starts by answering him and then the music swells up behind him and then he breaks into song. And then it makes more sense why in answer to a simple question, he would give a very long answer because that's the song, right? He's singing a whole song, doing a whole number. There's some fun dancing.
Yeah.
You know, some cool visual effects and things that happen on the stage, right? Some pyrotechnics and stuff like that. I think it'll be all pretty right. cool.
Yeah,
but now it makes more sense, right? It's like a little soliloquy kind of.
I could see it.
Nice. Yeah, beautiful.
Well, should we take a little break
now?
Yeah, a little early break. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I did just want to say one thing because I was following along in Tyndale and every time they say ask, like they asked him a question, it's axed. It's axed him a question.
Axed him.
And it reminds me, there was an episode of Futurama
I'm watching like all of that right now.
Oh, nice.
Okay, there's an episode of that where they're telling Fry about like, oh yeah, because you know Fry's from our present day and they're all in the future.
Yeah,
and
he's
they're
from
like
2000, but yes.
Well, sure, close enough, right? They're like, oh, you know, you're from back in that time when they still said asked instead of axe. Like, oh, can I ask you a question? And then they, through the rest of the show, they always say axe instead of ask.
Funny,
amazing,
and. Yeah, and so it's like they made it this thing like that became the way you say it. And looking at this, I'm like, no, actually it used to be that way. That's like maybe the oldest way.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah.
John Dolph, the mic in the chat, says that both axe and ask are equally old words. So maybe you could kind of pick which one you wanted and ask one out. Maybe
I've definitely
axe
heard
will make
people
a comeback.
I've heard people from Ohio say like axed. And so, yeah. I mean, there you go.
Can I ask you a question?
Right. Yeah, can I ask you a question? Exactly. I'm like,
so they're
what?
Not wrong. They're actually just speaking
they're
some
just
kind
right.
of early modern Next. English slash older middle English.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
There you go.
All right. So we want to take a quick break before our next chapter to ask all of you out there who are enjoying this show, having a great time, to tell your friends about it. Tell your family about it. Tell your pet sitter about it. tell your house cleaner, I mean, you know, I'll leave it up to you to evaluate who's appropriate to tell about this show, because maybe it's not good to tell everyone about it. But I did actually just tell our house cleaner about it the other day.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, didn't know lovely. That.
Well, he was the one that asked me what I do with this microphone in my office.
That's and a so great I said, question.
Podcast, and he asked about that. And he's like, oh, I like comedy podcasts. I'll check that out. I was like, okay, it's for a niche audience. I hope you're one of them. Yeah. So, good luck. Anyway, go tell your friends, because really spreading the word about this show is the best way to do this, right? We don't advertise this show. We also don't have advertisements on this show, which is why if you love this and want to support it, go to our Patreon at patreon.com/drunkbiblestudy and become one of our parishioners there. As a thank you for that, we have things like early releases of episodes, personal toasts on the show, one of which we will be doing later in this episode.
Ooh,
and yes. Emily's drink recipes for when she's having something other than just a wine, because she normally makes beautiful cocktails.
Indeed.
So we'll have to get her that mixing set so that she can get back into that.
Thanks, guys.
And thank you all so much for your support. Really, you audience are what lets us keep doing this, both in a spiritual sense as well as a financial sense.
Indeed. Which are one in the same, let's be honest here. Let's be honest. And we are back, and it is time for John 6. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is also called the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he did on those who were sick. Like, did he post signs on people, or was he like...
Little post-it note, healed.
Yeah, he just healed people.
That's good.
Jesus went up into the mountain, and he sat there with his disciples. Now, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Was that near... When is Passover? Was that close to what we just celebrated, Easter?
Isn't that near Easter time?
I think so.
Yeah, usually. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe he's like a year away from being killed. Who knows?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right. Or is he like really close to it?
Yeah. I don't know actually what's the whole timeline.
I feel like maybe this is a year before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question. We should look into that.
Yeah. So Jesus went up into the mountain and he sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" He said to test him.
Oh, where are we to buy bread? Not where are we to buy bread?
Where are we to buy bread? This he said to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these among so many?" So this is the story, of course.
Yeah, it's
we're getting a little bit more of this dialogue lead up to it, a little more storytelling.
Yeah.
Right, and that it's... that Jesus is kind of the one instigating the conversation too.
Yeah, that's
in the others, it was the disciples being all worried about everyone having food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, Jesus is like, hey, where can we get some bread and fish for all these people?
Yeah, like,
or get bread for
there?
These people, I guess.
He's testing them, which is weird. Yeah. That's like a bad boyfriend thing, but whatever.
Oh, dear. Uh-huh. Okay, I didn't even think about it like that.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in that place.
Oh, good.
Okay, so everyone was feeling good.
Good. It was like a music festival.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
That's where I went as well. Much grass.
Yep.
So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to those who were sitting down likewise, also of the fish, as many as they desired. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the broken pieces which are left, that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Oh, okay, wait a minute. So the bread is like broken pieced bread. So it's not even like good bread. I just thought that like
this is leftovers. Everyone multiplied. Ate. Like they passed around the five little loaves that were in that boy's pocket.
Okay.
And they all ate it. They all ripped off their own chunks and ate it and then had this leftover.
Okay. Okay.
So it wasn't like croutons to begin with, but now they're going to save it to use it in their salads later or to make a stuffing or something
okay.
like that. You
know? I thought that it was implying that like all the disciples got their food first and then the crumbs or the croutons that were left, croutons filled for 12 baskets? For 12?
Right, no, this is for the whole 5,000 already ate and now we have 12 baskets of croutons left.
Yes.
Got it.
No fish though. Those fish are clean.
Interesting. When therefore the people saw the sign, I saw the sign, which Jesus did, they said, "This is truly the prophet who comes into the world." Jesus therefore, perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
To make him king. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, a lot more character building in John, right? A lot more narrative and character building. I'm looking at Eugene's translation here for the Message. It says, Jesus saw that in their enthusiasm, they were about to grab him and make him king. So he slipped off.
Grab him and make him king.
So he slipped off and went back up the mountain.
Force a crown on that head.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's interesting because can they just do that?
I just don't want to be king.
Exactly.
That's the next part of the musical.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We'll have Jonathan Taylor Thomas show up and sing that for us.
Cute.
I wonder what that guy's doing these days.
Jeez. He's probably like, I'm living my life without...
And leave me alone, please.
A movie star, yes. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and they entered into the boat, and were going over the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not come to them. The sea was tossed by a great wind blowing. When therefore they had rowed about 25 or 30 stadia. It says 25 to 30 stadia is about 5 to 6 kilometers, or about three
stadia,
to four
like a stadium.
Stadia.
Yes.
Stadia, like a stadium, but a stadia. Yes.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
So 3 to 4 miles. They saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, they were afraid. They're like, whoa, this is weird. But he said to them, I am, don't be afraid. I feel like I've heard that I am before.
I think you're thinking of a different quote from somewhere in the Old Testament.
Oh, really?
I think, but honestly, I don't remember.
I don't know.
The I am that I am, that was what the burning bush said.
Right. Okay. Oh, the burning bush said that. Wow. They were willing, therefore, to receive him into the boat. Immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going. What?
Whoa, wait.
So it just
okay,
like,
this is...
it like teleported? What happened?
What?
Is that what just happened?
Okay. Hold on. All right. So I'm so confused
now. I don't know. I am too.
Okay. So the disciples went down to sea. They got in the boat and headed back across the water without Jesus is what we're to gather here, right?
Yeah.
And then there was this big storm that happened after they'd gone some number of stadium lengths out across the water.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And then they saw Jesus walking on the water. They freaked out. And then he's like, no, man, it's me. We're cool. And so they let him come on board. And then they were at the land. Almost makes me think, were they all high? And he was actually just standing on the other shore. And they were like, dude, you're standing in the water. What?
I
like,
love
get
that,
on the
though.
Boat. And he gets on I the boat. And he's like, guys, we're here. We're here already. And they're like, whoa, it's a miracle, dude. That's amazing.
I love that.
I like
so
that
much.
Brady in the chat is saying that Jesus's MP bar is way higher in this book.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, for sure. Yeah,
many more magic points.
Mm-hmm. Way more spell slots, for sure.
On the next day, the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one in which his disciples had embarked, and that Jesus hadn't entered with his disciples into the boat, but his disciples had gone away alone.
Yeah.
However, boats from What do you think? Does that make your claim more correct or less?
Well, no, I mean, they're just saying, right, like, how'd he get across the water then if he didn't get on the boat with them and there weren't any other boats?
I don't know.
And
he teleported, like, the boats.
No, I know. He's got cool magic powers for sure.
Yeah,
It was just making me think about in the movie Hamlet 2, which...
Is set in Tucson, Arizona? Yes, of course.
Set in Tucson, Arizona.
Only watched once.
Of course,
yes.
But in it, they do Hamlet 2, which is a musical about, like, time traveling and Jesus is in it and it's
yeah,
crazy. It's completely ridiculous and fun. But in the song where they're singing about rock me, rock me, rock me, sexy Jesus, they talk about Jesus having a swimmer's bod.
Great song, by the way.
Right.
And so by that logic, he actually just like rocketed across that water with his swimmer's bod before they got there. So anyway.
And nobody saw him because he's basically a fish.
Totally random aside.
He's just like a little torpedo, like a little dolphin.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah,
that's
like
fun.
A little dolphin. I love that for him. However, boats from Tiberias came near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the multitude therefore saw that Jesus wasn't there nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus.
Huh.
When they found him on the other side of the sea, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I tell you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food which perishes, but for the food which remains to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For God the Father has sealed him." They said therefore to him, "What must we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent."
Mm.
They said therefore to him, "What then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? What work do you do?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus therefore said to them, "Most assuredly, I tell you, it wasn't Moses who gave you the bread out of heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of heaven."
Oh, he's taking credit kind of indirectly.
Well, I mean, you know, giving credit to God.
Sure, yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Gosh, this is giving me other flashbacks related to Dungeons and Dragons, but I remember...
What?
So when I was a kid... And was getting into Dungeons and Dragons and like had a some kind of really early computer game about that. Or no, I was working on a campaign, right, with Dungeons and Dragons and had a character who was a cleric who would, you know, pray for spells and they would have to do that. And that's how they would charge up the number of spells that they had that they could use. And I remember my cousins being upset by this for being sacrilegious, the idea that a person would pray to like get magic that they could use rather than God being the one that did it. And we didn't even get into the fact that this was not God that this cleric was praying to. But
yeah,
in any case, they were like weird about that. And I almost feel like Jesus is kind of making a similar argument here where he's like, no. Like Moses didn't get magic powers from God.
I see.
He just asked and God did it for him. Like he's trying to make the same distinction here. Moses didn't do cool magics.
No.
God did.
Got it. I see.
And he's my dad too.
His name is my dad too.
Yes. His name is my dad too. Yeah, you got it.
"For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." They said therefore to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." That's
always give it to
I'm supposed to hand it.
That bread sounds
great. Give us
great.
This bread forever. I hope it's Dave's killer bread. It's your turn, Chris.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because that bread is awesome.
Okay, so they said, "Give us this bread,
our daily bread." Is that what is that from? The "Give us this bread, our daily bread."
The Lord's
Lord
prayer.
In heaven.
"Give us this day our daily bread."
"Give us this day our daily bread."
Yes,
you got it.
That's all I got. Nope, no, I don't.
Okay,
nope, not even a little bit.
Okay, so they said to give us this bread all the time, and Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not be hungry, and he who believes in me we'll never be thirsty. That is a good feature for bread because it will sometimes make you thirsty. So that's cool.
I mean, so his specific bread, he's got like some GMO thing going on so that it doesn't make you thirsty is what I'm hearing.
A hydrating bread. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
But I told you that you have seen me and yet you don't believe. All those who the Father gives me will come to him. But who comes to me, I will in no way throw out.
Thanks.
Him who comes to me, I will in no way throw out. Okay, that's good. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of my Father who sent me, that of all he has given to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day. Gosh, just the amount of new
stuff,
content and new stuff yes. that Jesus says in John is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't quite understand that sentence, though. This is the will of my Father who sent me, that of all he has given to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day.
Mm-hmm.
This is the will of the one who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Drink for repetition.
Okay.
Drink for repetition.
Yeah.
I also like that everyone loves quoting John 3:16 so much, including Jesus. He basically keeps quoting that same sentiment of whosoever believeth in me shall not die, but have everlasting life. I love that. Okay. The Jews, therefore, murmured concerning him.
Murmur.
Watermelon. Because he said, I am the bread which came down out of heaven.
What? I'm sorry.
They said...
I'm sorry. This bread just like fell from heaven. That's like... That's probably going to be very dangerous.
Well, no. I think it's a reference to the manna. That kind of bread that came from heaven. Do you remember that? The manna?
The
Emily?
Like... Or the kind of syrupy substance?
No, it's not a syrupy substance.
No, I thought that it was kind of like honey, as it were. No?
Well,
no?
We did do some research on this, and it was a little unclear what it actually was, but...
Like Secret of Mana?
Okay, well, not like that. Goodness.
All right, then like what?
They called it bread. They referred to it as bread.
Although we learned that it actually might have something to do with like locust
droppings. Yeah, it could have been some desert bug larva or something that they were gathering.
That sounds like a syrupy substance.
Right. Anyway, okay. They didn't like that right. Jesus said that. So they said, isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?
No.
How then does he say,
oh, that guy.
I have come down out of heaven?
Oh, that guy, that Joseph. I thought that they were talking about the older Joseph, like the really old Joseph from Genesis.
Like the technical or dream coat Joseph?
That guy, yeah.
Okay, no.
Yeah.
Okay, so they said this, and I guess Jesus heard this, because therefore Jesus answered them, don't murmur among yourselves.
Oh, they were caught murmuring.
He's like, I can hear you. I'm right here. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who hears from the Father and has learned comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father.
A couple of people have seen him.
And by he, I mean me.
I think he means me.
Yes. Yeah.
A couple people have seen the Father, though, like Moses and some other dudes.
Yeah, which we talked about was a weird inconsistency on Jesus' part
that
here.
Is. They're like, nobody has seen him except for me. And I'm like, but it makes it more better if people have seen him. He's kind of like this legend of Zelda, you know?
Okay. All right.
For sure.
Like the legend of Zelda, but if you never saw Zelda in the
game. Right. If it was just an enigma, you never knew who or what Zelda was. There was no reference. Everyone was just like, what is Zelda? I don't know.
Dedeker, did you finish Tears of the Kingdom or how far?
No, I haven't finished Tears of the Kingdom. What are you? Are you insane? Like, of course I haven't.
She just started it.
She just started. It's a large game.
Basically, in Zelda terms, she has just started. Yeah,
fine. Okay, fine. Fine.
Okay, wow, we're really getting off the rails on this.
Yeah, we gotta bring it back.
Sorry, where were you?
Okay. It is interesting that someone in the chat made a joke about, oh, I can see why Jesus got crucified now because he's saying all this stuff. And I think they were just being silly. But I'm actually like, no, in this gospel, it is very clear that the religious institution of this time,
he is
straight up blaspheming right out the gate. Yeah, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Way more asserting, I am
the one
sent by God and doing stuff for God. Whereas in all the other gospels, he's much more coy. What do you think?
He's much less like, don't tell anyone that it's me.
You're right.
This one too. I don't know if he said that at all yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe. I mean, here it is, right? This next sentence.
Oh.
Most assuredly, I tell you, he who believes in me has eternal life. Mm. I am the bread of life.
Dude, chill.
And the one who knocks.
Yeah. He is Heisenberg, for sure.
Ooh, now for some sick burns. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died.
Whoa.
This is the bread which comes down out of heaven that anyone may eat of it and not die.
I see.
Okay. How do you like them apples?
That bread.
I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Wink.
The living
bread. Yes, the bread which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.
Huh. Ew.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit ew. He's like very, he's just so declarative in John
He very much is, yeah.
And he talks so much.
Jarring after the other gospels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Jews, therefore, contended with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They were like, Emily,
they're also grossed out.
I mean, I hear you.
Therefore, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you don't have life in yourselves.
Okay, zombie.
He's really doubling down on it.
Yeah.
He is a zombie Jesus. Or, sorry, a vampire Jesus.
Right. Vampire. I thought for sure he was going to come back with something like, no, you idiots, is a metaphor. But instead he's like, no, literally.
You need to eat it.
Eat the flesh and drink his blood.
Eat it.
He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, vampires. I will raise him up at the last day.
Wait a minute. Did vampires come from this?
Well, I mean, that you know.
No.
But this is literally what vampires are. No?
Well, we've talked about the whole like Mark of Cain thing, that there's a little bit of that lore that Cain was maybe the first vampire all the way back in Genesis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember when I was a freshman in college, I decided to finally read the Gospels because I hadn't actually read them cover to cover.
Wow, look at you.
You did?
And at the time...
Why?
And at the time, I was also, had just kind of gotten into Vampire the Masquerade, like games and role-playing games and stuff. And
it.
I literally read this part and was like, holy shit, Jesus is a vampire. It's right here, clear as day.
It literally
is. No disputing
is.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
There it is. Verse 55. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him.
See?
As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me, he will also live because of me. I think he's implying here that his father is also a vampire then, and that's, you know, kind of in like a Vampire Lestat kind of way.
I mean, I love that for him.
That's fun.
Sure,
okay. So wait a minute. Okay, so he's Tom Cruise. And then God is maybe Dracula or like Nosferatu or like the first vampire Earl.
I don't think that vampire Tom Cruise is the child of Nosferatu. We're mixing different vampire universes also, yeah. And things are getting a little confusing.
I haven't seen an interview with a vampire recently.
Yeah. And also, wasn't Tom Cruise the child of Brad Pitt?
Yes. No, opposite. Brad Pitt,
Brad
was, the
Pitt was the child
of
Tom
Cruise.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I got that confused.
Yes, he was the child because Brad Pitt got eaten by Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Right. Eaten, but then not, you know, uneaten.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was mutual eating that happened and drinking. Okay.
Listen, why are vampires sexy?
Who knows, man?
Just because...
I think Anne Rice actually was key in creating vampires being sexy, creating that lore. Because right. I think before it was a little more creepy.
They weren't sexy before.
Dracula were kind of... Yeah, Dracula was kind of scary, but now...
Yes.
Anne Rice was like, we're going to have Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, and then vampires are going to be sexy.
Yeah, yeah. Right,
and they are.
Right.
She brought sexy back to vampires. Brought to them in the first place, maybe. Yeah.
She brought sexy back for the first time. Yeah, okay.
Love that for her.
This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as our fathers ate the manna and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Okay.
Okay.
End quote. That was all one big long monologue there.
Oh my goodness.
Jesus.
These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum or whatever we want to say for that.
Cappies.
Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?
That's a good question. Who indeed?
Wow. Okay. If even the disciples are like, "Oof, buddy, you gotta
tone it down. Yeah, this is some intense shit." Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
This is a hard saying. I also just really like that.
This is who can hard listen to saying. It? Yeah.
But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at this, said to him, "He's just hearing everyone's murmurs and calling him out on it."
Yes.
Said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble?
Oh.
Then what if you would see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who don't believe."
What?
"For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who didn't believe and who it was who would betray him."
Of course he knew. He must have known to begin with. I feel like he picked Judas because, and Peter, Simon Peter, because he knew that they would betray him, right? He knew.
Save it for your sermons, you know?
Jesus knew who would betray him, and therefore he picked them because he knew he himself had to go through it. And all of us, as people, had to also go through this and be betrayed and then come through that betrayal and become better people. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. I mean,
it works.
It needs
good
work.
Bones.
We're
good
workshopping
bones.
It right now.
For sure.
Yeah. Workshopping our sermon.
I think that's a good starting kind of thesis and you can flesh it out from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Where was it? Oh, and he knew who would betray him.
I don't know.
He said, "For this cause have I said to you that no one can come to me unless it is given to him by my Father." I feel like we've also got the seeds of Calvinism happening here.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? This idea that you're destined to, that God is actually the one who chooses whether you're going to believe or not and not right. actually you.
Yeah.
What? That's how Calvinism is?
Yeah, the whole like predetermined...
Predestination,
yes.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's like everyone who is going to be saved or not has already been decided. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
That's the gist.
Only in Calvinism.
That's what Calvinism is?
That's a part of it.
It's probably some other things, but I think that's what it's known for, is that particular belief.
Yikes. Yeah. Got it. Okay. Whoa.
Okay. At this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
wow. Really?
Dang.
Whoa.
They were over it?
Yeah, a bunch
a split,
just left.
A rift.
Yeah.
He is much more polarizing in this book.
For sure.
Wow. For sure.
That's wild.
Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, "You don't also want to go away, do you?"
Oh, like, gosh.
You don't want to leave me, do you? Aww.
Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom would we go? We have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, didn't I choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?
Whoa! What?
Now,
and they're all like,
There's such drama.
Such drama, right? Now,
awkward.
He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12.
Oh my goodness.
I do have a note, I think, for John, the author.
You have a note for John?
Like feedback?
Yeah. I don't know if you're going to be able to give it to him at this point, but go for it.
For his next draft, whenever he does a re-release, next edition, you know. I've always felt it's kind of disappointing when you give away who it is that's going to betray.
Sure.
But they do that in all of them.
I know, they all do it. And it's a bummer to me because I feel like it'd be such a better story if it's like he keeps implying it and everyone keeps insisting and you as the audience are wondering.
Who's it going to be?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But instead, it's always like, no, it's that guy. You're like, oh, okay. We hate that guy.
But we can't imply that Jesus was ever caught off guard. He always has to know.
I guess he does. You know? But can I just say that, like, I hate the fact that Judas is not anything but this bad guy. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, he doesn't, he has no other, emotional intent or anything. Sure. All that he is just character arc. No, they don't talk about him in any regard other than the end.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
And I would like that. I would like some more character study here.
Okay.
Who is the man Judas Iscariot? I appreciate that Andrew Lloyd Webber at least did a little bit of that.
That's going to be your sermon. That's going to be a sermon that you can explore all that.
And then we'll listen to Jesus Christ Superstar songs, which...
Yeah, exactly.
Is one of like three Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals that are masterpieces. The rest of them,
okay,
not so much.
That's fair.
Those three. Okay. All right. Those three. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Incredible. Okay. Do we have a person to toast?
We do.
We do. We have a toast. We have a new parishioner. And the last sip of my beer will go to this person.
Oh, hold on.
Perfect.
I'm actually...
Oh, shit. Okay.
Get a brand new beer for this person. That's how much I appreciate you.
Ready?
All right, folks.
Okay.
We have to give a toast to our new parishioner, Kaylee.
Woo! Congratulations, Kaylee.
Congratulations for joining the fold.
Drunk Bible Studying.
Congratulations to you. You should be thanking us, actually, for this wonderful opportunity to be a part of this beautiful, beautiful DBS family.
Like Jesus wants you to thank him, I guess.
You're getting in on the ground floor. Think about it that way.
Who's gonna betray us, though?
Are we on the ground floor when we're like 7 years in? How many years have we been doing this? 5 years? When did we start this?
I think we're coming up on 6. I think we're in our 5th year now.
God. Yeah, okay.
Maybe Kaylee's going to be the one to betray us, though. Maybe Kaylee's going to be the Judas.
Betray how? Know. How can one betray this... thing that we're doing. How?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Question.
I guess handing us over to the Fundamentalist Christian Podcast Tribunal for trial.
That's fine. You know what? I'd like them to
Emily's
listen
just like,
to
that's
us.
That's fine. I don't care.
That's fine. I'd like them to listen to us and to question their own beliefs in listening. Mm. Because we ask a lot of good questions on this show and I love it.
I love that.
And I don't have the ending up, and I got to get it up.
Okay,
in one
I
second.
See.
Can you vamp for a minute, please?
I was actually just going to say, I really, at the end of this whole thing, I think it would be really cool to go back and listen to some of our earliest episodes and pull clips of Emily sort of just talking about her experience with the Bible and with religion. And I feel like, Emily, you really came in with this kind of, I don't understand any of this. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so unqualified. Like, we're all unqualified. We don't know anything to now.
It's true.
When you're like, No, people need to come here because we ask some good questions. I love that. I love that art.
No, we do. That's the thing. I feel like we're asking questions and talking about the Bible in a way that probably many people internally think about but don't necessarily voice because it's challenging for them and it's also difficult to want to go against like the status quo in terms of what the Bible has to say. And we are doing that. And I love that about us. So if you are
I love that about you loving that about us.
Yes. I mean, we are towards the end of this gospel series, but we have a lot more of the New Testament to get through. Mm-hmm. This 6-year project is going to continue on to year 7, 8, and how many? 9? 9 years?
It's going to be like 7.5 total.
7 total, yeah.
7.5? That's it? We're going to be... Wow.
No, we're getting... It's weird. It's like it's a long ways away yet, and we're also very close,
no, but like, speaking. You know, the older I get, the faster time goes. So I'm like, sure. That's really soon. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, yeah. Well, we're going to get there. And I hope that you will all be there with us. And for now, thank you for joining us for Bible study today. If you want to join the audience in our live stream shows, follow us on Twitch at Drunk Bible Study or go to drunkbiblestudy.com/live. If you want even more Drunk Bible Study, including early releases, cocktail recipes, personal toasts on the show, and more, become one of our patrons at patreon.com/drunkbiblestudy. If you enjoy the show, take a moment to subscribe and then write us a nice review on iTunes, letting other people know what you like about it. You can also join fellow listeners in the Drunk Bible God, this is really hard when you've had 2 glasses of wine. You can also join fellow listeners in the Drunk Bible Study Fans and Fellowship Facebook group or on our Discord server at discord.drunkbiblestudy.com. Find us on Twitter at DrunkBibleCast, on Instagram at Drunk Bible Study, or send us an email to info@drunkbiblestudy.com. Drunk Bible Study is created by Jace Lindgren, Dedeker Winston, and me, Emily Matlack. Our theme song is Book Club by Josh and Anand from their album Home of the. For more information, visit us at drunkbiblestudy.com. Farewell. I made a memory about your dad. He's in a book club. Whoa. He's got a history of skimming past all the pages of ageless confessional.